Well, happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and I don't know what you do in Thanksgiving, but this is a great time as a family or as an individual to take a moment, usually when you're going to eat a Thanksgiving dinner, and just say thank you. What are we thankful for this year that God has been doing in our lives? And you know, even with COVID, there's things that we are grateful for. I remember when going through COVID was like going through any trial. At first, you're trying to ask, you just deal with it. What is this? And then we transition into the, God, why? Why are you doing this? But very rarely does God ever tell us why he is doing things. And sometimes he might tell us a little bit why, but we never really fully understand all the reasons and purposes behind what God's doing. And then once we move out of the why, we realize we're not getting an answer to that question. We get into the who, and that is, God, where are you in this? And I think we're at the who stage now. And Thanksgiving is a great time to go, God, you alone are my portion and my cup, right out of Psalm 16. And you make my lot secure. Surely the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And this day is a day for us to celebrate God's goodness to us. And one of the things being followers of Christ is to follow him in how he commands us to live. And you know, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at the end of that chapter, Paul says, you know, you can have faith, and there's hope, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You can have faith, you can be trusting in God, you can have hope, you can believe what he has to say, but the greatest of all these things as followers of Jesus is not what you know, it's not what you believe, but how you love. Not that what we know and what we believe isn't important, but that if you do not, and I do not have a loving heart, then what we know and what we believe doesn't matter. Because God's greatest commandment to us is what? Love him and love others. And if you want to walk a deep walk with Jesus, loving God and loving others is the heart, is the basis, is the foundation. So that's why we're doing the Loving Others series, is because that is the meat of Christianity. Not hard so much to understand, but it's hard to live out. And that's where our faith begins to kick in as we start to give areas of our life over to Jesus. Now, we started by learning that love is not me feeling something, though it will produce feelings. It's not about me being nice and kind necessarily. It's about me choosing to do what is best for another person, even if it costs me, even if it's hard for me. But choosing what is best and what is good for another person, regardless of the cost to me. And then last week with Greg, we found out that patience, humility, and kindness are the attitude and the flavor of love in people's lives. But it'd be easy to walk away from that and think that we just have to be doormats. But now this week, we're going to talk about love is about also about truth. It's the tension between that humility and strength. It's living out a tension of those two things. That's what love does. Love doesn't make us a doormat. Love makes us strong because we're willing to be humble and patient and kind. And love makes us strong because we're willing to speak the truth in love. I don't know if you know Bob Iger. He was the CEO of ABC and then became the CEO of Disney. And he wrote a book, The Ride of My Life. And in it, he talks about different principles of leadership that he has learned over his course of his lifetime. And one of the things he talks often about in that book is being honest, or to turn it into our terminology, speaking truth. Being honest in a way that gives dignity and respect to other people. So he says, when it comes to difficult conversations like firing somebody, and by the way, sometimes the most loving thing you can do as a Christian boss is to fire somebody. Firing is not good or bad. It's part of the reality of your responsibility. It's how you do it. And that's what he's talking about here. Sometimes I have to do difficult things like firing someone. And he says to be direct, or to speak the truth, about the problem, as being as direct as possible, explaining what wasn't working and why I didn't think it was going to change, is the most important way to handle this. And so the reality is that when we speak to people, he's saying, we need to speak truth in a kind way, or we would say it, speak truth in love. Because loving people speak truth in loving way. And he goes on to say, you know, so often in these types of situations, people get euphemistic, meaning they never really come out and say what's really going on. They just kind of use these words that kind of describe, but they're very vague and ambiguous, and you never really know what's happening. And he, imagine, CEO of ABC and Disney, he's been through a few firings in his life. And he said, if you respect the person, then you owe them a clear explanation for the decision you're making. Now listen to this. There's no way for that conversation not to be painful. I mean, if you're going to speak love, truth to people in love, there will be times when you do that it is awkward and it is painful. He says there's no way to avoid that, but at least it can be honest. And so give dignity and respect to the person to whom you're talking. Speaking truth to people is to give them dignity and respect and to treat them with dignity and respect. Now, I don't think, let me just be honest, I don't think any of you are sitting there going, I totally disagree with what you're having to say. I think it's better to lie to people. I don't think any of you believe that. The reality of speaking truth and love isn't that we don't agree that it's important, it's just hard to do. Right? When's the last time you've been standing in a foyer, probably pre-COVID, and somebody had their zipper down? Did you say anything to them? Is it awkward? But are you just going to let them walk through the foyer with the zipper down? Or you're at a meal with friends, or not necessarily friends, but people, and somebody has food on their face or in their tooth. But do you say anything? You know the battle you go through, how awkward it is to say, but are you going to let them, you know, talk to everybody and everybody's just turning their head away and doesn't know what to say? Are you just going to leave them hanging out there with the, you know, food dribbling down the side of their face? Or how about when a boss asks you to do something unethical? You speak truth back to them? Or somebody at work who is speaking about you, criticizing you to other people you found out about them, do you go speak truth to them to find out what was going on? Or have you ever had to say to somebody, maybe a spouse or a child, if your behavior doesn't change, you're going to have to leave? Or what about a kid in your program, your school or your youth program or kids program? Have you ever had to talk to the parent about the behavior of their child? Or how about talking about somebody who owes you money? So those types of situations where we need to speak truth to those people and broach a situation, not that we disagree that we shouldn't speak truth, it's just really hard to do. And so what do? We love ourselves. What do I mean by that? We tend to ignore or put it off or reject or just try to forget about it rather than speak truth in love. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, as we're going through this chapter in this love series, says, love does not delight in evil, but watch this, it rejoices with the truth. It rejoices when it has opportunity to speak truth, and assumed in this is in a loving way. Love rejoices with the truth. Love wants to share the truth because, not in a mean way, not in a harsh way, but in a kind and grace-filled way, because people need truth to get through pain and difficulty and hard things in their life or to deal with things that are wrong. They need people to tell them the truth because maybe they don't see it or they don't have the strength to face it. And when you speak truth to them, it helps them deal with the reality in their life. Speaking truth is awkward at times, difficult at times, it's painful at times, but it's the loving thing to do when we do it in a loving way. Because if we don't, we leave people in pain. Well, there's several great stories in Scripture about speaking truth and love. I just want to show you one that stands out to me, 2 Samuel chapter 19. So if David is perhaps one of the greatest figures of the Old Testament, if not the greatest, depends. He's certainly one of the most famous and favorite. And if you follow the life of David, you'll find he had many different people around him that made his success. So it wasn't just David, it was all these people around them. And one of those people that shows up in a lot of the stories about David is Joab. Joab was his general of his armies that won some amazing victories. Joab was the one leading the armies. And Joab happened to be his first cousin. And near the latter part of, or in the latter part of David's reign, when Absalom, his son, had risen up in rebellion and had turned the whole nation against David, and David had fled to a remote city where those who were faithful to him gathered, Absalom gathered his armies to go and attack. And David sent the armies out, and he waited in the city for the armies to return, not knowing whether they would be successful or not. And of course, Joab, that wily general, devised a plan with less men and defeated a much bigger army that Absalom had. And the last thing that David said is, be kind with Absalom. Make sure nothing happens to him. Well, when Joab found Absalom, he killed him because he knew that if I let Absalom live, Absalom will only turn around and try another civil war and thousands more people will die. And so Joab dealt with the issue. So the men come back to the city, and David is told that Absalom died. And this is what we read in 2 Samuel 19. Joab was told, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. Now, Absalom was the one that had turned the whole nation against him and was out to kill David and all of David's family. And Absalom was his son. And David was weeping and mourning for the death of Absalom. And for the whole army, the victory that day was turned into mourning because on that day, the troops heard it said, the king is grieving for his son. So they went out to fight for David, for his life. And they put their life in their hands and they defeated Absalom. And as they come back to the city, David is more concerned with Absalom than he is with the men that fought for him, some of who died for him. The men stole into the city that day as men steal in who are ashamed when they flee from battle. They're coming back saving David, yet they're ashamed of what has happened. The king covered his face and he cried aloud, everybody hearing, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, grieving. And then Joab went into the house to the king and said, today you have humiliated all your men. Now, this is Joab talking to the king. And Joab tells him what he needs to hear. Today, you have humiliated all your men who have just saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines, because Absalom would have killed them all. You love those who hate you, and you hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom were alive today and all of us were dead. Now, go out and encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. This will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come upon you from now to your youth. So the king got up. Now listen, he's the king. The king got up, took his seat in the gateway. And when the men were told, the king is sitting in the gateway, they all came before him. David would have absolutely destroyed the country if he was allowed to continue in the behavior that was overwhelming him. His emotions were overwhelming him. And it took somebody to come along and point out bluntly, directly, this is what is happening, and you are going to ruin this nation and lose your family and your whole life if you don't smarten up. Speaking the truth sometimes is hard. But if we don't, people will never get free of painful and difficult and harmful situations they have found themselves in. How many lives would have been lost in that nation if Joab didn't step up? And how many of your friends or family are in situations that somebody needs to talk to them about, but nobody will say a word? Not because it isn't true, but because it's too hard. They might not take it. I might get rejected. It might ruin the relationship. Who am I to speak into their life? And love says, I choose not what fits me, but what is best for someone else, regardless of the cost to me. And we think of love as having all these great, wonderful emotions, and it can, but it also comes, love also sometimes gives us emotion like fear and concern, and I'm afraid to step forward to do the thing of love. Because love is not a feeling. It produces them, but love is a decision to do what is best for another person regardless of the cost to myself. So a friend of mine, Mike, was invited to his cousin's wedding. I'll call her Amanda. So Amanda was having her wedding. It was all getting ready. It was 2 weeks out. And Mike's sister was out bar hopping and hooked up with a guy. And lo and behold, the guy she hooked up with was Amanda's fiance. So he was going out, still messing around with other girls while he was engaged to Amanda. So Mike was caught in a conundrum. Do I tell Amanda, because the fiance didn't know that Mike's sister was who she was. So do I tell Amanda what has happened, or do I shut my mouth? Now you can imagine what Mike went through. Put yourself in that situation in your family. Well, it's none of my business. Well, maybe there was some sort of mistake, although there wasn't. Maybe she already knows and she should find it out. It's just going to cause a big rift in the family. I don't know how I'm supposed to handle this. I just think I need to keep my mouth shut. All those excuses are what? Self-love. I don't want to put myself into a situation where I might get rejected or hurt somebody or cause a big trouble. So I'll just keep my mouth shut. But Mike couldn't live with that. And so as he prayed and he sought God, he realized, I got to tell Amanda. So he did. And guess what happened? Amanda realized what was going on. And no, Amanda said, she turned on Mike and she told him, I totally reject what you're saying, and I'll never talk to you again in my life. And she hasn't. And she went ahead with the wedding. Within the first year and a half, Amanda found out that Amanda found out that her fiance, the guy that she eventually married, was cheating on her and living a double life. And so you would look at that story and you would say, see, that's why I don't want to speak the truth sometimes to people, because it's none of my business. Look what pain it caused. His cousin won't talk to Mike anymore, and they've been estranged ever since. And Mike should have just shut his mouth and let her figure it all out. She's figuring it out anyway. But for me, that story is a story of love, that Mike, knowing the cost, knowing the struggle that he would face, knowing the rejection, knowing that some of her family, Amanda's family, may turn on him as well, he went and told her with the hope that maybe Amanda would take some time and really think about it, maybe even put the wedding on delay to figure out what was going on and make sure that she wasn't making a mistake. Now, she chose not to listen to Mike, and that's her choice. But Mike's choice is not to make her listen, but to speak the truth. And I think he put her first by going to her to tell her, this is the truth of what's happening and what you're walking into. Hard? Yes. Awkward? Yes. Painful? Yes. Loving? Yes. Yes. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is a model of how Jesus treats every single one of us. Just think about your own salvation. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you surrendered your life and faith to Jesus, every one of us has somewhere in our story this truth, that Jesus spoke love to us in a loving way. And he talked to us and he showed us through our circumstances, through the word of God, through our own conviction, that we are sinners and that we're broken and that we stand unrighteous before God And there's nothing that we can do to pay God back for all the sin that we do, the thoughts that we had, the words that we use, the actions that we've done, our behaviors and patterns, that there's nothing that we can do. We are broken and separated from God. And this is what he told us. And if you do not, deal with that sin in the proper way, you are destined to be separated from God in hell forever. Jesus told every one of us that. Because without that understanding, why would we ever submit ourselves to Jesus Christ? What's the cross for? If I don't need to be fixed, if I'm not broken, if I don't have sin that separates me from God, what do I need a cross for? But Jesus spoke and breathed that truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, you came face to face with that truth. Yes, I'm broken before God. I'm a sinner. And if I were to die, I would be separated from God forever in hell. Now, he may have told you other things about your life, but that is at the heart of the gospel message. And so when people hear that, they may choose to reject it. They may choose to ignore it. But you, if you're a follower of Christ like me, embrace that truth, and it led you to do what? To admit that you were a sinner before God, to believe that Jesus' death on the cross paid for your sin, and then to choose to surrender your life. Without Jesus speaking truth into our lives, we never would have embraced Jesus as our Savior because we wouldn't need to. Speaking the truth in a loving way is what love is all about. Now, by the way, every time you speak truth, not everybody blows up at you. It doesn't always go south. Often when you share truth with people, it actually brings you closer to that person. Many times I've spoken truth to people, kind of hesitant, it's awkward, it's difficult, and they have thanked me that I had the courage to speak truth to them, that it helped them so much. And funny enough, because I spoke truth with them, they then realized they could trust me. You see, there's some benefits to speaking truth to people. Number one, your relationship with that person, if they receive the truth, will actually get tighter because they go, you cared enough to tell me what other people wouldn't tell me. You cared enough about me. You've helped me. And that helps me trust you, and trust always deepens a relationship. So speaking truth in a loving way brings a deeper relationship. It also breaks Satan's activity and affliction and influence in a person's life in that area, because what is the tool that Satan uses to get us to move away from God? Lies. That's one of his biggest tools. And so he gets us to believe lies, and when we're believing lies, we act in ways that lead us away from God. And when somebody comes in and speaks truth and shows a mirror, it destroys the hold or the influence that Satan has in that area of our lives. And we go, oh, I've been listening to thinking or reasoning or voices that have been leading me away from God. And then in fact, I need to be changing my behavior, changing my thinking so I can move closer to God. It destroys his foothold in our lives. It also helps the person to grow. Whenever a person sees truth and responds in an appropriate way, what happens? They grow. And sometimes people just need somebody to share truth with them so that they can grow, because they don't have the courage to face it. They might know it, but they just don't have the courage. And by you bringing it to them, it brings it out, and they go, I got to deal with this. Or sometimes people don't even realize what you're saying. It's a total blind spot. And you help them to face it. And then another thing of telling truth, you grow. When you tell somebody truth, now again, I'm not talking about the person that just, you know, blurts it all out, doesn't care how people feel. Loving people speak truth in loving ways, doing it with love. But when you speak truth, you're acting courageously and you're acting lovingly. So you become more courageous and loving. And aren't those two things you want in your life? Because you're willing to speak truth in love. Now, if you're in a small group, and I really encourage you to be in a small group, This week, you're going to learn a fabulous, in the material, there's a fabulous tool that the writer put in, three questions. If you've got to speak truth and love, so maybe you know, yeah, there's somebody in my life, my spouse, my parents, my child, my boss, my employees, my neighbor, my friend, whatever. You know somebody you need to speak truth to, but you've been holding off, and you're going, like, I just don't know how to handle this. You will find there's three questions in the small group material that will help you put together how to approach somebody and speak the truth in love. They're very good, and they make it very simple, and you can use those. So look for those in your life group as you meet this week. But I also have learned from somebody else. I was listening to a speaker, and I was in a situation where I wasn't speaking the truth and love to somebody because I was too afraid to broach the situation. And the speaker said, when you have to deal with the difficult situation, use this phrase first. Help me to understand. Don't just jump into a conversation and, you know, because you come across as accusing, but help me to understand why you missed your curfew. Instead of, you missed your curfew, this is the third time you missed it. It's instead, help me understand why you missed your curfew. Help me understand why you didn't get the work done that we agreed you would do. Help me understand, I've had to have this conversation, why you're letting your dog crap all over my property. That was a fun discussion. Help me understand why you're not paying me back the money that you owe me. Help me understand why you humiliated me in that at the party last night. And then let them talk. The beauty of those words, help me understand, the beauty of those three words is that it, first, you don't go into the conversation accusing anybody. Because as soon as somebody feels, and you know, in awkward situations, we behave awkwardly because there's no way around it. And so what happens is we start a conversation, we don't know how to say it, so we kind of blurt it out, and it comes across accusingly. And so what happens, the person goes on the defense automatically. But when you go, help me understand, and then you bring it to the situation and ask them the question, you come across as you are actually trying to understand, not accuse. Well, that immediately helps the conversation. The second thing is the person first gets an opportunity to speak as to what they said, what they did, and why they did it. How many times have you been really upset and then you finally went and talked to somebody and you go, oh, I totally misunderstood. Now I wish I could take back all the words that I accused them of. But if I said, help me understand, they get a chance to explain it. And you go, oh, okay, now I understand. I misunderstood. Or I totally understood and now we got to fix this. But you've enabled the person to talk. And then, by the way, this happens because I've used this many times. Help me understand, bring up the situation, and the person goes, oh, I know, I was so wrong, I'm so sorry. Because they felt so awkward about it and so bad about it, but they didn't have the courage or the strength to actually come and talk to you, that when you broach the topic, it gives them an opportunity to say, yeah, I know, I'm so sorry, which is exactly what you're looking for, right? Reconciliation. Help me understand. You see, loving people speak truth in love. Loving people don't avoid truth. Now, there are times we need to discern, is this a truth I need? First of all, do I understand the truth? Because I'm not going to assume that I'm right and they're wrong. Maybe I misunderstood the situation. That's why help me understand really works well. But maybe there's some times you need to get some help. You know, I'm going to go get some counselors. Should I be speaking into the situation? That's just wisdom. Proverbs says you always get counsel, wise, godly people who can keep it to themselves, who will help you understand the situation and what you should do about it. But typically, that's not the reason why we don't speak truth and love. Typically, we never go to wise counselors to help us. We typically avoid speaking truth and love because it's so awkward and difficult at times. But love says, I choose what is right for you, even if it's hard for me. And speaking truth and love can be hard sometimes. But sometimes it's easy. You're so good at this. You're so great. I'm so encouraged by you. You do this so well. That's not hard to do. That's speaking the truth. That's really easy to speak, to be encouraging people. But when you've got to speak the truth where there's some confrontation, that's where it gets difficult, and that's where we chicken out. So what's your assignment for this coming lifetime, let alone this week? Well, I'm going to guess you have somebody in your life that you have not spoken to about a situation because it's awkward, and you've just kind of keep pushing it away. Maybe it's even popped up here now that you're listening to me preach the Word of God. You're like, oh, yeah, that person, and that person's name is coming up. Or maybe God's going to bring that name up in this week. And so I want to encourage you, instead of chickening out, to do the loving thing and embrace the awkwardness and then go to them and say, help me understand. Help me understand why you didn't do the work you said you would do. Help me understand why you're coming in late. Help me understand why you haven't paid me back yet. Help me understand. Help me understand. Who is it that you need to love by speaking truth in love to this week? Now, some of those may be really, you know, they're awkward, but they're handable. And some could be really massive things that you need to prepare for because they're life-changing. They're powerful. They're reaching deep into your family. They're reaching deep into your relationship. But you need to speak truth in love, and you need to prepare yourself, and you need to be willing to go there because you love the person over yourself. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians 2 when he said, prefer another person over yourself. Don't treat them as what benefits you the best. Treat them as what benefits them the most. Because that's love. Second thing, assignment. Maybe that's not your thing. I'm going to guess that 98% of us are going to run into this soon in our lives. But also, here's another assignment that we can think about. We've been talking about my four. Let me just time out here for a second. So there are two commands in Scripture that have great in front of them, that we call great. One is the greatest commandment, which is love God and love others. So if it's the greatest, we obviously should be what? Focusing on it, because it means it's the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Well, that's the main thing. Oh, I really should be growing in this thing of love. Yes, you should be. Okay, the other great is the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go make disciples. This is the mission I give to you as my follower, as a church, and as individuals. You go make followers. Join with me in what I'm doing in people's lives that are in your life, and let's make disciples together. Okay, great commandment, great commission. My four is to say, you know what? I can't reach everybody because Jesus doesn't expect me to, but I can reach some. Who are those some people in my life that God has put into my life that I have a network, a relationship with, that God wants me to begin to intercede for, the three I's, intercede for them, be involved in their life, and then invite them into something, into a conversation, into reading a book, into watching a video, into coming to the service or watching the service online, inviting them into a spiritual connection, a next step for them. Who are those four people that God put in my life? And we've created this little card, very simple. It's just called My Four, and it has four blanks on it. And what I would do in using this, because I have my four plus, and so what I would do if I was doing that, I'd go, if I didn't have anybody, I never thought about this before, I haven't really been serious about it, I would just start keeping a list of, God, who? And I would think, who in my life is there that I have, you know, they don't know Jesus? And I just keep writing down names. You might come up with six names. You might come up with 60 names. And then start praying, God, which of these are my four? Which ones? Put it on my heart that you want me to help work with you over the next months, years, decades in reaching this person for Jesus. Now, if you have a person like that that you would call one of your four, maybe it's time for you to speak truth and love to them. And so I would encourage you to ask, help me understand, and ask a simple question. Help me understand what you think happens to us after we die. Help me understand what you think the Bible is all about. Help me understand who you think Jesus is. Help me understand where you're at in your spiritual journey. I have found that people, when you ask a question, they're more than willing to talk about it. It's when you're always telling them, not listening. That's the problem. I don't like that. I don't like it when people always come to me and tell me, tell. But when somebody comes to me and says, hey, Ed, what do you think about, there's no off base. I don't mind people asking a question and then listening. In fact, I feel honored by it. And so with your four, go help me understand what you think about and then let them share with you. Initiate spiritual conversation. That conversation, I met with a guy almost certainly at least once a month, often once a week, for 3 years talking about spiritual things, and then he moved and I moved on. I found out he came to Christ later. But it was my privilege for 3 years to just have a conversation. It doesn't always help me understand what you think about Jesus and let's pray so you can receive him right now. That's not always how it works. It's about caring for people and engaging them in spiritual truth, inviting them into conversation. So your assignment could be this week saying, God, which of my four do you want me to speak to? Now, let me do one more application, then I'm done. Do you have your four? If you do, and you're involved in this, you can stop listening. Are you asking God for four? You may not have them, but you're asking him. If you do, if that's you, you don't have to listen. But if you're a follower of Jesus and you have not got four people or three people or six people, whatever it is, you don't have anyone in your life that you are working with God on the Great Commission, then you're sinning. Well, how can you say that? I'm not talking about, do you have my four? I'm talking about if you're not engaged in the mission that Jesus called you to, whether you call them my four or my friends or people that I talk to Jesus about, if there's nobody in your life that you're interceding for and you're involved in their life and you're inviting them into discussions and conversations, spiritual discussions and conversations, then you are not completing, you're not involved in the mission that God gave you to do. So let me lovingly confront you. Help me understand why you think you don't have to be involved in the mission that Jesus gave to you to do. Help me understand. I'm not saying you have to be up here preaching. I'm not saying you have to be, you know, go online and share a testimony. I'm just asking you, help me understand why you do not have anybody in your life that you are working with God to reach when he gave you that mission. And yet you call yourself a follower of Jesus. Help me understand. Well, instead of explaining it to me, if that's you, take some time and talk to Jesus about that. Because there will come a day when you will stand before him, as I will, and he will say, help me understand why I gave you a mission and you did nothing about it. Let's pray together. Sometimes, Father, truth is difficult because it challenges us, makes us feel insecure, both giving it and receiving it. And you call us to be people who speak truth in loving ways with their good in our minds, not our good, so that they'll prosper, not so that we'll get our way or that our gender will be met. But loving people speak truth in love. And sometimes we chicken out on this and we ignore this. Not sometimes, we do this a lot, Father. Give us the courage like Jesus. He spoke truth to a woman that was caught in adultery in such a way that she found hope. And then he spoke truth to religious leaders in such a way that they were rebuked. He knew when and what tone to use. And so I know, Jesus, you can help us. You can teach us when and what to say. I want to pray for those that do not have, therefore, do not have people in their life they have not been seeking after. God, would you put that question that I left them with? Because they don't really answer to me, they answer to you. And my heart is that they would never have to stand before you and have that question asked of them and not have an answer. God, engage us. Help us to take steps. We admit that we struggle with our mission, that at times we're afraid of it. At times we don't know what to do. At times we're so busy in our lives we don't have room for other people. Would you speak to us about this so that we could become joy-filled, obedient followers as we pursue your mission? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.